Turn, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. It's good to be with our friends at Bryan Station and with Brother Spears. It seemed like I developed a real affection for Brother Spears years ago. We talked, and he tried to get me to go to Canada with him to get a boat or something. But we appreciate him and thankful that the Lord in his providence placed him here as pastor. Appreciate the message we've already heard. I pay attention to what I title sermons because we found out they end up on the computer and it's the title that gets people to listen. And I was thinking whether to name this, Are You Building God a Barn or a Temple? Or maybe Barns, Temples, and Matches. But at any rate, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful for your holy word. We're thankful for Christ. We're thankful for the Holy Spirit who inspired the word and opens our heart to understand the things of Christ. Purify us through your word. Forgive us of our sins. Bless this dear church. And Lord, as we've already heard, the gospel is placed in earthen vessels. All our weakness, and you do that so the excellency of the glory would be yours and not ours. So forgive us. Give us a proper spirit. Give understanding to this church and help us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul is talking to the church about an improper attitude toward ministers. It's the minister who plants or waters. It's God that gives the increase. And so the glory doesn't go to the minister. But then he begins to talk to the minister in verse 9 of 1 Corinthians 3. He says in that verse, "For ye are laborers together with God, ye are God's husbandry," or we might say today, God's farm. Then he uses another figure, "You're God's building." He begins to run with that figure. He says, "According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." Now, Paul is speaking primarily to pastors here. It's very important to understand that. You say, well, are you preaching to the preachers tonight? Well, I'm preaching to everybody because for you to understand is going to enable you to be a help to your pastor. As he's trying to stay on the right road, you must understand and be a help to him. Now, what is the background of this illustration that Paul uses? Many towns in this world. I've been down in Mexico. You'll see this often there. Over in the part of the world where Paul was. You'll go into a city or a town or a village. And maybe up on the hill there'll be a temple. Whatever God, maybe a professedly Christian, maybe not. But this temple is made out of gold, silver, and precious stone. Maybe marble, maybe granite. And lavishly decorated. The homes, however, are built out of wood, hay, stubble. Maybe they have thatched roofs. One of the great differences is that if you were to take a match to the homes, they would burn up quickly. But it's thought that a temple built for a god ought to be made of things that's inflammable. Now, the Parthenon is still standing. Many of the homes are gone. And so he uses that. He transfers that and uses that picture to teach us something about the Lord's work and the work of building churches for the Lord Jesus Christ. He talks about being saved, but so is by fire. That's another figure. You understand what that is. If you wake up in the middle of the night, you smell smoke, the whole house is on fire, you just have enough time to throw on your bathrobe for decency's sake, you run out into the yard, about that time the fire collapses the roof, everything you have is gone. You were saved. You're thankful for that. But you were saved so as by fire. Everything you own has been burned up. Let's look at these pictures that Paul has used. First of all, in Christian work, Christ is the foundation in church building. He says in verse 10, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. And then he says in verse 11, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. You know, in the work of the Lord, Christ is the foundation. You know, I think of the Great Commission. Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. You have the spiritual foundation. There can be no church of Christ where there is no gospel. The gospel goes, and it's through hearing of the gospel that men believe and come to know Christ. Without converts, you can't have a church. You have to have people that know the Lord. And so the preaching of the gospel lays the spiritual foundation for a church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then you have the visible foundation, baptism. The Bible says, and for instance, this is Paul's statement in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27. He says, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Don't have time to do a real exposition of that verse, but how do we identify with Christ? How do we put on the uniform of Christ? How do we let others know that we belong to Christ? It's through baptism. There can be no church where there is no baptism, where people have not publicly put on the uniform of Christ. And then there is the doctrinal foundation of the church. Jesus said, teach them whatsoever I have commanded you. Jesus is the truth. He's the source of all New Testament truth. Anything the apostles wrote, they learned from Christ. The Spirit of God brought to their memory the things that were taught of Christ. And so Jesus Christ is the foundation in church building. He's spiritually the foundation as we come to faith in Christ, visibly as we're baptized in His name, and doctrinally as we learn the things that He teaches us. And a church, of course, must have the doctrine of Christ. But when that foundation is laid, the building continues. Paul says, I have laid the foundation and another buildeth thereon. It's already been mentioned this church was organized before Kentucky was a state. But you're still building. Kind of reminds me of the hospital up our way. They have not stopped building in all the years I've been there. And God help that you never stop building here until Christ returns. And Brother Brynn is still doing the work of an evangelist, as any pastor is supposed to do, and I hope you are, and we are still building, putting living stones into the temple of the Lord. I hope you are using the gift that God gives you for the building up of this church. Every member of the Bryan Station Baptist Church and whatever church is represented here ought to be doing the work of the Lord and seeking the prosperity of the church that they're a member of, and seeking to see it build up in the Lord, and praying to that end. But you notice that builders need to take heed. Notice what he says in verse 10, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. Notice, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. Now, primarily in this church, that's speaking to Brother Brent. But then again, you're aiding him in the work of the Lord, aiding him or hindering him, one or the other. And so And we all are serving the Lord through the church that we're a member of. So every man, so he says, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. But it says, now if any man build there on this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work should be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of that of what sort it is. I want you to think about the implications of what Paul is saying. It almost offends my theology to verbalize what Paul is saying here. He's saying that a saved man can pastor a true church and build wood, hay, and stubble, and his soul may be saved and may lose his works. Now, if it's not saying that, tell me what it's saying. He said, he shall be saved, yet so is by fire. Paul saying, now you fellows that came behind me to Corinth, that are doing the work of the Lord in the church of Corinth, you better watch out. That church had the proper foundation, Christ. But you better take heed how you build, because the temple of God ought to be built out of gold, silver, and precious stones. Are you building God a temple or a barn? You say, what's the difference between a temple and a barn? Well, one thing, a barn will burn down pretty quick. And he's saying, you better watch out, because one day God's going to put a match to what you've done. And if it burns up, you're going to be saved. But so is by fire. Now, we are not suggesting that all preachers are saved. I'm not suggesting that people that preach another gospel or people that are leading God's sheep astray, I'm not suggesting they're saved. But folks, I'm saying this. There are men that preach the gospel, but they don't build with the gospel. You know, there's churches where the gospel is preached, but it's not the gospel that holds that church together. It's not the gospel that keeps the attendance where it is. And so these are rather shocking things to think about. That a saved man can pastor a true church and build wood, hay, and stubble, or gold, silver, and precious stone, and that the Lord's going to put a match to it, and that saved man may lose his labor. It's something to think about. First of all, we ask ourselves, am I building God a barn or a temple? Am I building God a house worthy of his name? It's been thought, even by pagans, that when you build a house for a god, it ought to be lasting. It ought to be expensive. It ought to be something worthy of God. But he speaks of a judgment. He said in verse 13, every man's work should be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. How many fires have swept over villages, and yet the temple was not burned because it was made of things that would not burn? What is Paul referring to when he describes this testing of a man's works by fire? Well, A.W. Pink said that that's referring to this life. It's interesting what he said, and there's a great deal of truth. He said that Jesus said, by their fruits ye shall know them. But A.W. Pink said that you can look at a man's work in this life and tell whether it's wood, hay, stubble, gold, silver, precious stone. Now, I would say this. I grew up in a large church back in the 70s in the church growth movement, if you're familiar with that terminology. And the church that I was in was one of the 10 largest churches. They wrote books about that back then. And the man that was my pastor was viewed as very successful. Before he came, the church was rather large for the time, but it just had a plain Baptist preacher who preached Baptist doctrine. And the pastor that I grew up under came, and he was noted as very successful and had multitudes of baptisms and built the church very large. But I remember going back there for a meeting some years after I left, and I looked around that vast auditorium, and there was about 200 people there. You say, who were they? It's kind of funny. They were the old people that were reared up under the old preacher. That's what Arthur Pink was talking about. Doesn't last. You know, there's an old saying, what brings them keeps them. I noticed down in, I used to live in St. Petersburg, Florida, and there's large Baptist churches all over St. Let me rephrase that, large Baptist church buildings all over St. Petersburg. And most of them have small congregations. You say, why? Because a man would come and he would have a great ministry and he would do exciting things and the church would grow in attendance and they'd build a building. Then something would happen. He'd leave, or there'd be some trouble. Somebody else would come. And you ended up with a succession of large buildings. Now, I don't believe that Pink was accurate in interpreting the scripture in that way, but he was pointing out something that's absolutely true. But I think that it's referring primarily to the judgment seat, where our motive and our attitude and the nature of our work will truly be revealed. And the Bible says that we can be saved, yet so as by fire. Always remember this. Success is something that God determines. Success is something that the future will determine. I've always said this, that false religion is a great thing, except when you come to die. Then it'll fail you. What is the source of this danger? What causes men? And you say, Brother Ron, what's the difference between gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, and stubble? Well, I think it's very clear. When you look into the New Testament, what did they have? They had worship. They had the preaching of the Word of God. They had prayer. They had fellowship. You look in the New Testament, it was all very spiritual, wasn't it? It was all built around Christ. Now, anything else is wood, hay, and stubble. There are some things that are not wrong, but you build a church on those things. You know, I've always been this way. When I pastored the First Baptist Church of Independence, Kentucky for 22 years, we'd have meetings. And sometimes we'd have singing groups come in. And when I say that, I mean folks like the Dunaways or somebody. I never announced that. Now, I'm not saying if you announce it, you're bad. I'm just saying I never announced that because I just always had the funny feeling that you ought to be at church anyway. You know, and it doesn't matter who else is going to be there. The Lord is going to be there. And it doesn't matter who's singing to us. We ought to be singing to the Lord. What is the source of this danger? What causes men to build wood, hay, and stubble? First of all, a desire for success. Now, preachers, are we above that? No, we're not above that. Now, we ought to want true success. We ought to want conversions. We ought to want people to grow spiritually. We ought to be praying toward that end. But I'm talking about to be successful in the eyes of men. I grew up in a Baptist Association. And in that association, and this is one of the things I loved about our preachers and men like Brother Gormley, was there was no such thing as big wheels and little wheels. I mean, you could pastor a church of three, and Brother Gormley is just as likely to ask you to come preach a meeting as if you had a church of 500. He was that way. Brother Brent's that way. I pastor a church of zero. I'm not pastoring. I couldn't return the favor if I wanted to, Brother Brent. It doesn't matter to him. But a desire for success. Now, I've already said this, that we need to be careful to always remember that God determines who's successful. Amen. And that the future will determine that. I remember seeing a sign for a church down in Louisiana where I was. It said, Church of the Year. Somebody had voted them Church of the Year. I thought, did the judgment seat take place and I missed it? You know, I mean, who gave men the right to start the judgment ahead of time, you know? Desire for success. Spiritual immaturity. I've never seen the Empire State Building. But, you know, I built snowmen, and I've been at the beach and built a sandcastle. But now, I don't know how tall it is. Does anybody know? Well, it doesn't matter, but it's got a lot of stories. Now, would you know how to build an Empire State Building? Man, I wouldn't know how to get air conditioned over that whole thing. And I knew a guy down in the mountains built a building, and it fell over before he got it building. Well, if I built the Empire State Building, and it'd be worse than 9/11. I mean, you think what the architects have to know, what they have to understand to do something like that. They have to know the weight and so many things that probably don't even enter into my mind. Now, what would a man who was that type of architect think if he was building a building like that? And I began to give him my opinion. He'd probably tell me pretty quick I didn't know what I was talking about. But you know, God's house, which is more important than the Empire State Building. Amen. And yet people that are spiritually immature, who are not students of the Bible, feel qualified. And I'm not throwing off on anybody because they're young in the Lord. I'm simply saying that we've lost sight of the fact that kids and new converts and some actor that God saves or some athlete that have been a convert for 6 months are not qualified to talk about how to build the house of God. That there is some knowledge of Scripture required, of what the Bible has to say. You know, people may be truly saved, and they may mean well, and they may want to help the church. And they say, well, you know, we're going to spread the gospel. We'll go to Hollywood, make a movie, or go to Broadway and learn how to put on a play, or go to Madison Avenue and learn how to advertise, or go to Nashville. But you learn how to build God's house in the Bible. And so spiritual immaturity. The church is the personal property of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Bible gives the rules. The Bible gives the information as to how God's house is to be constructed and what it's to look like. And people that are spirit, you know, that's the trouble. In most homes today, children decide where they're going to go to church. Do you ever think about that? They can't make the kids' mind. Got to keep the kids happy. And I know I've often thought people, when one of the things that got me out of, I hate to say false religion, but out of churches that weren't, I think, dedicated to the study and observance of the scriptures. One of the things that got me out of that was as my children were getting older, I didn't want them raised up to not think the house of God was serious and that the gospel was serious and the things of God were serious. And I see people trying to looking for something that they can get their kids in what I was trying to get out of. Lack of power. A lot of people are building wood, hay, and stubble because there's no power in the church and no power in their life. Listen to this statement of the Apostle Paul. He said, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Do you know what Paul is saying there? What an amazing statement. He says, when I preach, the Holy Spirit takes what I say and reveals it and proves it to the heart of those that listen. We used to call that conviction. Conviction means to convince. Paul says, I preach, the Holy Spirit convinces. I preach, the Holy Spirit convicts. And that's the way I want it. He said, I don't want to use enticing words of man's wisdom. I want to preach the gospel and the Spirit of God, convince men of the truth, because I know that your faith must stand not in the power of man, but in the power of God. But a lot of times we don't have any power. You know, it convicts me. Can I say that when I preach, the Holy Spirit takes what I say and convicts people of the truth of it? Now, I believe we as preachers, if we lived the life Paul lived and prayed like he did, we'd be able to say that. But where there's a lack of power, we use other things. You know, I've often said that the church is not a motorboat, but a sailboat. You know, a motorboat, you just start that engine up and make it go wherever you want it to go. But a sailboat has those sails there, but you're looking up waiting for wind to fill them, and if the wind don't fill them, you're not going anywhere. And I think of a church of the Lord Jesus Christ. If it don't have the power of God, it needs to set there. And the people become unhappy. And people begin to say, what's wrong? And somebody says, we need to get on our knees. You know, I know a church down in Arkansas that was started under an oak tree. And the gale of the Spirit of God blew. And they were blessed. But you ever notice that a church like that will go 30 or 40 years and it'll begin to die as that generation begins to die off? And people start saying, dying, what are we going to do? Well, maybe we need to build a bowling alley. Maybe we need to do something to attract the young people. Well, how'd you attract the young people 40 years ago? Maybe you need to go back under the oak tree. Maybe you need to begin to pray. You think young people have changed in 40 years? God saved me when I was young. Lack of power. Boredom. I've been in churches where everybody looked bored. Do you ever ask yourself what boredom is? Boredom, there can only be boredom where there's a sense of duty. You know, if you're sitting in church and you get bored and you say, I'm leaving, I've had it, and you just get up and walk out, there's no boredom there. But if you say, this is right, and this is what God would have me to do, but boy, I wish He'd shut up. That's boredom. Folks, they weren't bored in the church at Jerusalem. Jews came in from all over the world and didn't leave. That's the only church. I mean, there was no church back home. That's why they had deacons, the Grecians, widows, and so on, because there were so many people there from different parts of the world, but there was no boredom. You say, what happens when boredom sets into a church? Is it time for a movie or time for a play? No, it's time to seek the presence of God. Unregenerate members can swing a church. I often think of Judas when Mary of Bethany, what a lovely person she was. And when she broke that alabaster box and bestowed what she did upon the Lord. And Judas said, this could have been sold for 300 pence and given to the poor. And the disciples all started saying, yeah, that's right. And they didn't know it was a devil that said that. A lot of times, some unsaved church member will say something, and God's people don't have the discernment to realize that they're listening to the wrong thing. Peer pressure. Look around and you'll find that Baptists are as bad as teenagers about peer pressure. I've watched this. Back in the 70s, it was the bus ministry. Then it was the Christian Life Center. I'm not necessarily knocking any of those things. I'm just saying Baptists are as bad as teenagers about following what other people are doing. And it just swings. I mean, it's just fad after fad after fad after fad. But what are we told in the Holy Scriptures about the work of the Lord? When God spoke to Moses, he said, and look thou that thou make them after their pattern which was showed thee in the mount. Years ago, I heard Brother Gormley use an illustration, and Spurgeon said illustrations are like windows, they let the light in. And this was just, to me, a great illustration. He said before he became a pastor, he worked in sheet metal. And this would be true not only of sheet metal, but wood or anything. He said he would cut things out of that sheet metal. And he said what you'd have to do when you made your first one, your prototype, or your pattern, you'd put a P on it. And every time you made one, you use that P, that pattern. Now, let's say you had a rabbit and you were making rabbits to sell, wood rabbits, metal rabbits, whatever. And instead of using the P every time, you cut out the first one, put P on it, you set it over here, then you cut out the second one, and you just use the one that you just cut out for the pattern. Pretty soon your rabbits look like rhinoceroses. The only way your rabbits can continue to look like rabbits is if you use the first one every time. One of the things I've noticed, and this is what I don't understand, conferences that successful churches, successful in the eyes of men, whether they're successful in the eyes of God, that'll be determined in the future. But they'll have a conference, come and learn how we did it. Don't we have a pattern with a P on it somewhere? You're the wrong pattern. We don't want to see how you did it. We want to go to the Bible. That's where the P is. That's where the pattern is. Church growth conferences. Doesn't matter how Jack Hiles did it. How did they do it in the book of Acts? That's what matters. Peer pressure. Peer pressure is a good way to build wood, hay, and stubble and have it all burned up. Well, let me conclude. First of all, is your soul saved? That's something to think about. Have you come to know Christ? You're nowhere if you can't answer that with a yes. But then, let me throw this at you. It's a terrible thing to lose your soul. If you die without Christ, a million years from tonight, you'll be in the lake of fire. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Terrible thing to lose your soul. But then again, it's a terrible thing to lose your life. Do you ever think about that? Preachers It's a terrible thing for us to lose our lives. You say, what do you mean? Well, my soul is saved. But if I'm building wood, hay, and stubble, and the Lord puts a match to it, and it all burns up, I've wasted the time God gave me. I've got a life that doesn't amount to anything. So it's a horrible thing to lose your soul. But it's a bad thing to lose your life. If you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, did you ever think about that? We don't want you to lose your soul. But that's not all you're losing. You're losing your life. Just one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Listen, preachers, it doesn't matter what you think about me. It doesn't matter what I think about you. It matters what God thinks about us. It doesn't matter if somebody says our church is the church of the year. That doesn't matter. If you're here without Christ, one day God's going to cast you into the lake of fire. And you'll wish you could burn up. But if you're here and you know Jesus Christ, one day God's going to put a match to your life. And you better hope it doesn't burn up. Because you'll be saved, but so was by fire. And it's a terrible thing to lose your life. Lord bless you.